may God receive you in the 11 o'clock today, reach all of us that are on the left in this room. We should be in the city. And today's work, I think, is very short. We are receiving it's first quarter. Yeah, first quarter from the Department of Home Affairs. And we should have actually, if it was not today's sitting, we should have had almost the first order and the second order for us to be on par with our performance. And but unfortunately, this cut in our time now has created this situation that we received the first quarter only. We are having a delegation led by the DDG, who Smooth Mkhize, now an acting DG. Then we have got the CFO, Mr. Olambi. Then we have got Dr. Carnison. And then we have got Riaz Musa. And then we have got Sam Mandwana, I think, around. Then we have got Martin. Yeah, this is writing. Handwriting, young child. Then we have got Simons. Yeah, Simons is the provincial manager for Western Cape. Then Martin, I can't pronounce the surname. I can't. The way it has been written. You'll just simply assist me. Tawiya Kwala. Yeah, so let me accept that. That's the delegation that we have received. And then, honorable members, the minister as well as the leader out of the country, as well as the deputy minister. And of course, as I asked who's actually acting today as a minister, I was told that possibly the liaison officers may have been informed. I don't know, because I don't know how long the minister and the deputy minister are going to be outside. Yeah. If there is any acting capacity, you can inform us. If you don't know as well, there is no crime, because the power is not you. Yes.
The minister will be out until Friday, and the minister who is acting now is Minister Suzanne Shabangu.
Okay.
Yes.
No, thank you very much. Honorable members, without really misusing more time, then we received an apology from Honorable Nkomo Ong, which means that all other members then they should be struggling to find this way, being on their way, and we need to proceed with this and to receive this briefing. And at the end of this briefing, then we'll go back to that memorandum of desirability that we talked to last week, just immediately after the completion of this exercise. And you can proceed.
For the opportunity, and good morning to all the honorable members. We will seek to get permission, honorable chair, that we do not deal with slide 1 up to slide number 6. Mainly because those slides are what we have always presented from the time when we talk about our strategic plan and in the interest of time. And then we talk to slide number 7 and 8. Will that be fine, honorable chair?
Yeah, we really have time pressures and what we are used to do. And then you can avoid.
Thank you very much, honorable chair. So the first quarter, we were able on slide number 7, we are indicating the high level achievement in quantitative terms. But the smart ID cards that were issued in the first quarter alone were 498,253. You will see that that was more than the planned target. And then for the first issue IDs, it was 70,959, and it was issued within the turnaround time we have set for ourselves. Of course, then the reissue, that is people who apply for the hook other than the smart ID card reissue, 56,838. Of course, then the passports that were issued in this quarter were 125,468 within the 13 working days. The department also then, with its program to turn around the culture and the way in which our officials take their responsibilities, instilling the sense of leadership and culture of care. And the model called the Mojabili Program was then launched on the 11th of May. Then the department also had, in an attempt to ensure that all stakeholders dealing or people dealing with the issues of immigration were brought into under one roof and in an immigration stakeholder forum engagement on the 13th of April. And the intention is literally to ensure that there is greater cooperation, coordination, as well as information sharing relating to all matters of immigration. Further, the DNA, the operation pyramid launched on the 19th of June in Skuza to strengthen the borderline. And this is really an intention to have a pre-run of what operations the BMA would be undertaking. And then Ibizo was held in Mpumalanga on the 9th of April, hosted by Minister and Deputy Minister, and in order to divert on matters of mutual interest. And this was really a highlight, again, that indicated to municipalities their roles in how they can support home affairs as people live within the municipality. So there were various presentations, and then different municipalities presented as to say what are their challenges and how they expect departments to assist them. We then again also the assessment of the Maraba Star Refugee Reception Center under the Mojabili program, because this center is one of the source of constant challenges that the department is addressing. And therefore a focus program to say what could be a comprehensive intervention and needed to serve the base of just assessing all areas that keep on arising as a challenge in Maraba Star Refugee Center. More than 9.5 million travelers were cleared at the 72 ports of entry, and a total of 10,242 immigrants departed for transgressions against the laws of the country in terms of immigration laws. 7% of those who were charged for misconduct, whose verdicts were also then found to be guilty, were pronounced. Honorable Chair and members, we do have some of the challenges we constantly share with you, but they do impact on operations. Among them, we presenting again the issue of the immigration regulations, as we, Honorable Chair, is fully aware and numbers of the fact that eventually the President had appointed the Deputy President to lead the team, and that included all interested parties to address some of the challenges arising in the implementation of the immigration regulations. We also then had to engage with the Ministry of Telecommunications. This matter is still unresolved and is still one of our greatest challenges, particularly with the live capture being implemented and rolled out, that with unreliable networks, you continue to affect clients who come eagerly to apply for smart card passports through live capture. And when you say the network is down, you create just frustration. So it remains a problem. Treasury, and on this one is not necessarily a reported as a challenge, but it has to indicate that this has been at least agreed to and resolved. That is the issue of the long-standing problem of the DERCO account, and we are hoping that this baseline budget, once then it is transferred to DERCO, it shouldn't be a problem at all. At least the agreement has been reached. Then on the issues about collection of revenue, relating with the DERCO, DHAS COPA is assisting us as a department. Further, there were challenges in relation to development of some technical specifications for some systems. This system would mainly refer to the issues of harness as well as access, where we did have some challenges, and therefore then we needed to see how best we can go out and get to the technical specifications. So the DG then engaged with various departments, SAR, CITAR, just to make sure that when we have this specification, it talks to the needs of all departments that depend on the system. The registration of birth in some of the facilities is still a challenge in some of the hospitals, and mainly because of some of them that will rely on what we call a 3G functionality. And then back on weekends and public holidays, department doesn't operate all those hospital facilities on weekends, but also on holidays we are closed. So we do lose some of the kids who we could have got before the birthday. Process of securing the funding for the ACOS, we were working closely at that time with IGS to ensure that, as indicated in the earlier bullet, that the IGS is going to be able to be assisting us. IGS is for integrated justice system that we deal with, so there is a board that is driving this particular process in advance for helping us with the funding model. Therefore, on performance, we presenting to you, Honorable Chair, that the 33% is what is the cause for concern that was not achieved, and we will highlight those areas in the next report. We were at 67% during the first quarter, which is the period currently under review. So 27 targets out of 41 were achieved, and 14 were not achieved. I request that we move to slide 13. That is a high-level summary of where was achievement and was non-achievement. If we look under administration, 17 targets were achieved, and then of course, 6 were not achieved, so that was a 74%. Civic services, and 5 targets were set, and 4 out of 5 were achieved, which translates to 80%, 1 was not achieved. Under immigration services, 6 out of 13 were achieved, 7 was not achieved. That is how the 33% of non-achievement comes about, Honorable Chair, in those specific areas. Program slide 14 tells us what are our main objectives and targets. Slide 15, Honorable Chair, then indicates now the breakdown of administration, what was not achieved. And firstly was the issue of the concept document that we were supposed to have finalized. That target was not achieved in that stage, but also just to report that today the business order to CETA has been now issued and to develop the concept document and tender specification. They are working with us in this regard. So at least there is now progress made post the quarter one non-achievement. Same thing with the tender specification for ACOS. This is part and parcel of one and business order that we are dealing with to make sure that the concept document and tender specifications are also finalized. But this happened after quarter one. Then the tender specifications need to be signed off and to make sure that they are indeed done. However, at that stage, by end of June, the user requirement specification has now been developed, but this only happened after quarter one. So those are the three targets that were not achieved. Then under training, there was an intention to train 90 officials. Unfortunately, only 81 officials were trained on the PS program within the National Certificate of Affairs Services. Just to remind honorable members that this certificate aims to create an overall care of Home Affairs who understands all businesses of Home Affairs, not just focused on specialized area of immigration or on area of sleep. But this training is aimed at creating a leader who is an all-rounder Home Affairs official. And that, unfortunately, we were nine less. Then 60 managers, this one was achieved, so we're not talking to that. If we can move to slide 80. This is in relation to the contact center. The department currently is working on a contact center that is on a month-to-month basis contract. Because the department made a deliberate decision to move away from an outsourced call center and create an in-sourced call center. Now, that meant that we needed to do a lot of work within the department to make sure that when we have the contract signed and the specification developed, it's clear what is expected of this call center. So this target was not achieved in quarter one, but we can report that specifications for both requests of proposals and the a closed tender was finalized and presented to the DAC for approval, but also that as we speak now, evaluation of the request for proposals completed and presented also to the DAC. The user requirements and technical specifications were defined and approved, but this also then only happened outside of this quarter. But the progress is such that a test specification and invitation letters for the closed tender were issued to shortlisted service provider. We then move to the citizen affairs, which is slide number 25. I report that we move to slide number 26, Honorable Chair. Slide 26 talks to the target that was not achieved. This is in relation to the registration of births within 30 days. And the target was 187, and we were outside of the target. 175,734 births were registered within the 30 days and calendar days. And then, of course, that was the only target and that was not achieved. Under program 3, with immigration matters, and that is page 29. And as I said, the refugee and asylum seekers are managed and documented efficiently. The target here is around the regulatory travel documents issued within 90 days. The target for quarter one was that we will achieve this. Unfortunately, we were not able to achieve it. Instead, out of our 795 applications received between 21st November to 18th of February 2015, 459 were issued within 90 days from the date of application at the RRO, that is the Refugee Reception Office, until the document was ready for application. This was 58% as against 80% that was targeted. And then BMA, that is like 32. Because it was so much work here, it was clear that it took longer than we anticipated, and the process, although it commenced and the first draft of the bill approved, this had not happened by the end of the quarter. But we can report to the committee that progress has been made here significantly. The first draft of the BMA bill was finalized on the 29th of June, and therefore then and was presented to Minister on the 3rd of July. And then the overarching strategy developed and approved by Minister, and the target here was to have the planning conducted and approved by Project Manager for BMA Research and Tracking of overarching strategy to ensure that we have well managed on it. Honorable members, here the preliminary work has been done in the form of the BMA multi-party agreement, has been undertaken for conducting research and drafting the strategy. The BMA multi-party agreement is considered a precursor in this regard because this involves almost a plethora of departments, and it's just a real area that needs a lot of consultation, engagement, and working with the people funded to support the project office. So it has taken longer than we really anticipated at that stage of reporting. Rollout of court control strategy. Here the target was a strategy and operational framework approved. And this was not achieved at quarter one. Interim reporting measures, however, have been implemented with court managers following the approval of the change reporting line from provincial managers to court control, which is a head office in the immigration service. So there has been that change within the department. And then consultation and proposals on the finalization of migration plan, on the transfer of functions and resources to be referred to the change reporting line is ongoing. And if we move to slide 35, this is in relation to foreign mission visited in support of feasibility study, so that there is a green paper on international migration, which will then be submitted for ministerial approval. The visit to the target mission for this study was not carried out during this quarter. Honorable Chair, one of our main targets is that 70% of permanent resident applications will be adjudicated within 8 months from the date of application for all applications that are submitted within the country. Now, here we are just indicating that a total of 20 out of 1,458 permanent residents were adjudicated within 8 months, which represented only 1.36% achievement. So, but there has been, department has established what we call an operations management committee, which is called an OPSCO, which has really done a great work in trying to assist here. But these are priority skills that have been made and given the greatest attention, which includes critical skills, and then of course several work permit and business skills. So, unfortunately this target, and as of first quarter, had only 1.3% adjudication. And then, slide 37, critical skill visas adjudicated within 4 weeks, and that is where most of the attention has been given by the team here. And unfortunately here we were at 53% out. Out of the total of 951 applications, 511 applications were adjudicated within the 4 weeks as prescribed, which then resulted in a 53%. And the issues to address going forward from first quarter to the next quarter, Chairperson, we identified at that time finding the alternative network provider to SITA to ensure that you got a stable network. This is a priority which has involved the level of the minister to engage his counterpart around this area, but also continuing to find creative ways to deliver services such as the partnership with the banks. And this is just innovative strategies we've been able to increase our ability to serve citizens better as a department, ensuring the BMA bill is successfully taken through the parliamentary process, preparing for the closing of the current late registration of banks as of the end of December 31st, 2015. Banks procedure introducing much stronger measures, stringent measures in the nation. I will ask that our chief financial officer reports on the financial part of the report.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, on slide 40, the expenditure program. Our budget for the department is 6.4 billion rands. At the end of that, of the first quarter, our overall spending is standing at 25.2%. If you take a linear projection, this is on par. If you look at it per program level, administration is at 22.3%. I'm looking at the second last column, Chair, the percentage of budget spent. Citizen affairs slightly higher at 26.2%. The same with immigration services. The detail of it will follow in the other slides, Chair. Yeah, just before I move on from the slides, we were sitting with accruals of 72 million that came from the previous financial year, and that contributed to the higher than expected spending on citizen and immigration affairs. Slide 41, Mr. Mbisa. This is the expenditure per economic classification. Okay, again, I'm looking at the second last column, the percentage of budget spent. If you look at compensation of employees, you'll see that that's standing at 23.5%. If we take a linear projection, it would have been 25%. This underspending is basically as a result of natural attrition and the delay in filling of posts. If you look at goods and services, however, the next line, you will see that the expenditure is 34.7%. Okay, Chair, I'm just trying to... on 34.7%, that is as a result of our self-financing that has not come through yet. There's a slide that follows that will deal with the self-financing issue. And then you'll also see a little bit further down on that same column, there's a 7.9% spent on payment of capital asset. This is traditionally, the first quarter is traditionally slow for us as far as it comes to capital spend, but look at it now kicking in, so the spending will flow in the third quarter, so it's basically we're paying the invoices now. If I go to slide 42, Mr. McKinson, next one. On legal services, you'll see that legal services are standing at 45.1%, and then communication at 35.6%. The legal services is a result of our engagements and the receipt of invoices from the state attorney. So we're struggling to budget adequately for legal services. the communication was as a result of our launch of IKAIA and some initiatives we launched early in the financial year. That has now pulled through in the later quarter, so we are back again on square one. And then also on the right, last one on that line, the site owns leases, private leases, 42.1%. I mentioned the accrual issue earlier. This is, we put some of these invoices late. This is as a result of the payment of last year's expenditure in the current financial year, the 42.1%. Share on slide 43, there's status services, you'll see 237% spent. That is as a result of self-financing, but there's a slide following on self-financing. We tend to overspend on status services because that's for the publication of document, ID documents and passports, which we then came back through a self-financing mechanism, but we only receive that money late in the financial year, but we actually get it in January. So we spend against no budget, but then do a journal at the end in the fourth quarter. So just on this slide 43, which is important to note, is the spending by the provinces. If you look at the spending by the provinces, you'll see that most of them are on par if you use 25% as a benchmark. Some of them are slightly under, others are slightly over. But in general, you can see that the provinces are spending well and according to plan. Slide number 44, Mr. Kizay. This is just to give you an indication of our expenditure on self-financing. We have spent 178 million rands thus far at the end of the quarter one on self-financing expenditure. That is then set off against the money collected later as revenue. Slide 45, please, Mr. Kizay. Slide 45 just gives an indication of the revenue collected. For June, actual figure is 56 million. That's about the average we collect as revenue every month. So if you take the totals, it's 180 million for a quarter. Unfortunately, that figure is not reflected here. But I'd say it's about 60 more per month, which we collect. So that's then the high-level expenditure report. If we can then conclude, I would just say that expenditure is on track. Our budget is under pressure, but we're spending according to plan.
Okay, on some of the tables, there is somewhere where you've got an expenditure that is way more than 100%. Is there any serious explanation for those kinds of things to happen? Where you budget 2,000 rand but you spend 6,000 rand. Is there any explanation really that can be mentioned? What can assure us that one day it's not going to happen on other programs where we find that we have budgeted 20 million, then you spent 60 million. Where do you actually get this additional funds that you have not budgeted for? If you can just give us some explanation to that as you go on, because as far as I'm concerned, it shows just simply financial indiscipline. Change proceed.
Thank you very much, Chief. I may respond to that issue, the first one. The first one is on households, Chief. It's slide 41. The spending on households is 197%. Chair, I think we must concede that in the past we have not adequately budgeted for households. Households is when people go early retirement, their pension benefits to be resolved and settled. So we have moved additional money. So if you look at the budget allocation, it was 3 million rands. And we have already spent 3.5 million rands. So we're over on households. But we have shifted money, 11 million rands, to cover that shortfall in the current financial year. So that issue should sort it out. If you ask me why are we not budgeting adequately for households here, it's the traditional excuse is that we do not know who's going to go on early retirement and that kind of thing. But I think in general we did not budget adequately for it, and that's why we have taken the decision to move additional funds to households. The funds doesn't come from anywhere else here. It comes from our baseline. So we reprioritize within our own baseline. We usually take money from the delay in filling and costs of a compensation for employee money and move some of that back to households. We can move from compensation of employees to the other economic classifications without treasury approval, but we also engage them on those issues because I agree with you that it could be indicators of poor financial management. The other one, Chair, as I say, is both the legal services and communication, but both were anticipated. We know that we spend more money on legal services than what we currently have. We're now looking at mechanisms to make sure that where a particular branch is guilty of a misconduct that led to the litigation, that will recover that expenditure from that particular branch. At this stage, it's legal services that pick up the bill. So branches that cause the litigation get off scot-free. So we're trying to change that, so make them responsible for paying for those expenses. Chair, but that's the process that we're still engaging upon. Chair, I'm sorry, on slide 43, the one about safety services, I tried to explain that this is the result of self-financing. We know that the money will come for self-financing for the production of our ID documents and passports. We know that money is coming. It's just the issue of timing. So we spend now against no budget. That has been, once we get the money in for the self-financing mechanism, then we do the journal check.
Okay. Okay. I think we have got some sort of explanation. But the explanation of moving money from delayed feeding of goals to fund other activities is problematic. It's problematic because we stand here and say, Department, please fill the post. And you know that you have actually shifted money for that particular post to something else. Then you can't fill the post. Then you don't say that, I can't fill the post, I've shifted the money for compensation for that post to do XYZ. Now, we later decide for you to fill the post because you know you have already taken the money for something else. Then you don't fill the post. Then you end up feeling that, no, we are not being listened to. But because you have created that particular problem, know that there is that particular consequence. If you shift money for a position that has not been filled but funded, you're creating a problem that you can't fill that position later until the next financial year. So it's actually now that deliberately not filling the post because of killing the man. And I think we just really need to think a little bit properly whether we are doing the right things with some of those things. We are not executives. We don't want to tell you how you should do things. But we'll make this noise. And you say, you are not, you are creating problems. Honorable members, you say, please.
Chair, thank you very much. I know our time is limited, so I'll reduce it to just a few important questions. I just wanted to ask you a question on slide 9. Your first bullet point, they talked about the challenges you're having with the implementation of the new immigration regulations. If you can just unpick that, I worry that those regulations have been implemented, should be implemented for a while now, and it's looking at your major challenges. If you can just explain what those challenges are. And what's going to complicate now is further changes to the immigration regulations. And are you prepared for those changes? This thing about connectivity has been a problem for a hell of a long time, and it's affecting the delivery of smart IDs, passports, and those kinds of services at the branches. And I know that you're making attempts to try and resolve the problem, but is there any idea when this thing will be once and for all? And I've experienced it just this weekend at a branch in Durban that had massive problems, and the staff, they come under tremendous pressure from the public. Because to just simply say we're offline is a very difficult thing to be able to sell to the clients who are waiting in the queues for like 5 or 6 hours. So this thing about birth registration in hospitals is also linked to this connectivity. But there were also problems around ensuring that their staff members are painted at these hospitals, which is also contributing to the problem of not reaching the target. To what extent is this a problem? You know, you introduce a system without making provisions for staff to manage this thing. It doesn't make sense to me. But I know that that's part of the problem. The other question that I like to ask around that issue is, I mean, for religious and traditional and customary reasons, many parents don't register their children immediately after they are born because they have to go through some traditional ceremonies and several religions. So you end up with parents, although the facility is there at the hospital, they take the children away without being registered. And I wonder whether the department gets a record of the addresses of the parents under those circumstances to follow it up. Is there any work that's being done to chase that up? And the experience that I had in one of Home Affairs offices recently when I spoke to the managers, part of the problem we all know in branch offices is is dues, long dues. And those dues are a result of mainly two things. The one queue is for people who come to fetch documents, most of it smart IDs, and the other is people who come to apply for it, mostly smart IDs and passports. And what I discovered is that when the branch office receives a box of smart IDs from the office, from Memphis, and when they capture it into the system sends out an SMS automatically to the person. So if the branch office receives 400 of those smart IDs and captures it, it sends out 400 SMSs, would have a direct result then on the queue the next day. It makes sense. So isn't there a way in which you can separate the two? Because I get it that you have to capture the receipt of it. But if it sends out an automatic SMS, it means you've got no control over the amount of people that drop up in the queue the next day. If you separate it, you'll be able to manage that process much better and perhaps send out 100 SMSs for the day. Because you end up with 400 people waiting in queue, and they get to the end of the queue by 4 o'clock in the afternoon, can't get their smart ID. And it's a frustration that you create when you can actually manage the thing much better. I'm very disappointed about that information on page 36. It says 20 out of 1,468 PRPs were successfully dealt with in 8 months. You know what that equates to? Just over 2 in a month. 8 months. I mean, I'd really like to understand, how is it possible that, I don't know how many of you've got dealing with this thing, that it can take 8 months to do only 20 PRP applications. Is there, what's the main reason for it? And I know that PRPs is a massive problem. People wait more than 8 months in many instances to get it. And then the same applies with the political skills. I mean, it's 50 sitting at 53%, and this is something that I think that the department and the minister has talked about, how important it is for us to be able to produce these critical skills visas in a very short turnaround time. You're only doing half of it. The last question here relates to this thing around the legal services. It's sitting at 4-5%. I envisage you're probably going to be over budget on that one for the year. What are the main cost drivers around this thing? You talked about misconduct cases from the branches. And surely there must be some indication of what the general trend is on either misconduct, or is it people taking the department to port over certain systems or processes, or what exactly is it that you probably put your finger on and try and make some intervention to try and reduce the number of cases that the department has to defend in court? Thank you, Chair.
Yeah, thank you very much. I think I must just remind ourselves on the PRP. I think we had a very long, lengthy discussion, and the DG tried to explain that the PRP is that there is a change of mind, that we're no longer going to give it easy. And again, that it is unreasonable to have a target that you are going to give PRP, because those that get it must be those that comply. So therefore, you can't put a target. Even if you put a target of 20, when nobody complies or satisfies the requirement to issue that, then it becomes a problem. You can't comply with the number. But the change of mindset about the PRPs. And any other one that wants to speak?
I'm hoping that you're answering the question for him, because that's one of the answers for me.
No. I was actually reminding you that we had a lengthy discussion and the DG explained it. Yes. There is no point of asking the same question and we know the answers and we have got the responses that we have had. And we just need to repeat it. We are just creating a problem. But we just need to be a little bit considerate of certain things. Because this matter has been on the basis of you asking even the DG, and went further and explained what is the problem about the PRPs, and the Deputy Minister as well came in and actually tried to explain exactly the same thing. And now, I mean, I'm just simply indicating that we have that engagement about the PRPs. If there is any other problem that we may need, maybe it would be appropriate to speak to the Minister. And then so that we talk politics of it. And then so that
with great respect to you. Can I just simply say this?
Thank you very much.
If you're going to respond to the questions I ask, then you must create the opportunity for me to respond to you, because then you're creating a political debate. This is a presentation the department put up there. I'm raising the question. if this thing is supposed to be done, I have every right to ask why it's not done. And I'm not asking you for a response. If I want a response from you, I'll
we can argue about this. We can argue about this. Because you see, the thing I'm bringing along here, what we're saying, is that you have asked this particular question. And it has been explained. And it was even indicated that this particular package, there is a possibility that they are going to discontinue it. Because it is not appropriate. It is not making any sense. Because it is a question of the people that actually satisfy the requirements to be given permanent residence in the country, that they receive those. You can't put a target and say, you're going to give 100. If nobody satisfies the requirement, they are not eligible to be given that, then nobody. It's going to be zero. So this is the debate that we had for a very long, lengthy time last time. And there was, it's not a question that it appears, it must also make sense what we are doing, not asking for the sake of just asking because it appears. If you know the answer and the form, then you must be reasonable with what we are doing about it. We can argue about it. The way I'm saying is, it is now a policy matter whether we should continue with that target or not. And therefore we can make an arrangement to engage the minister himself. Yes. No, it has been said. Okay. No, thank you very much. Raput?
Thank you very much for the presentation, Mr. Temkise. I'm still also asking myself on this slide 87, putting this as a performance of adjudicating this critical skills, is really going to hinder with your performance. And I think really, it must be taken out. That is my view. Because I really don't understand, because you hinder it with your performance to go and now becoming adjudicators of critical skills. Are you human resource? Where is DPSA to do that? I really don't know. Where should it go? It will not be part of your performance. On slide 8, 9 million travelers were cleared at 72 ports of entry. I'm asking myself, are they tourists who came to South Africa? 9 million? I think really that needs to be updated, because we are having negative kind of people saying that we are not having tourists come to South Africa. 9 million within that period of time needs to be uploaded. Coming to 10,252, the people who were, that is like 8, immigrants deported, if you can really apply according to nationality, so that you can be able to know who are really coming to our country, coming to do those kinds of dubious mischiefs in South Africa. And we want to understand what kind of misconduct of 70% of guilty verdict pronounced internalized misconduct is. What kind of misconduct and what measurements are there in place to keep the situation? Slide 26, as the Hussein have already alluded, that how do you motivate, because it's also a negative to your performance, because it hinders with your achievement. I think you should make motivation in that regard concerning that, is it like 26, next? Like registration of birth, because it also becomes problematic. But anyway, thank you very much. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, Shabashu. Thank you for the presentation. Thank you for the presentation. My first question also for you on page 10. The Honourable Hussein has asked the question, but I also want to also to emphasize on this question, because this challenge, this is a long, you have been telling us about this challenge on weekends and public holidays for quite a long time. And it worries us, because when you look at slide 26 also, the target is not achieved. Then what is your future mechanism for this? What is your mechanism in place? When really you must have something that is concrete, this mechanism to get this problem. As we are looking forward to December 2015, which is just next door. So I'm also really worried about this problem, which is always there. Also on this question, what is the delay on the process of securing ARIS? Also, what measures are taken to address to address the chronic low performance in the adjudication of the permanent residence application? And lastly, also I'm worried about this major challenge we're talking about on page, we're talking about the BME. Because we've got a long problem, there are still gaps in the BME, although we still need it when I'm going to target the parliament. But what do you think can be done to strengthen as much as you know that there's a trap here? But also, I don't know why there are also gaps that I can also see that there are so things that are not achieved. I don't know whether it's acting process or what. If you can just elaborate more on that. And lastly, on page 18 and 32, there is this problem of the signing of this contract of the service providers by the BCPG, which is not achieved. What makes this delay in signing of this project? Because also that also is going to take energy. That's why it is also an impact in some of the finances. Lastly, for immigration affairs, I don't know why is the very underspending, when you look at that even, underspending of 7.5%. We are looking forward also to the border management. If therefore we can't manage the immigration affairs, try to understand that only 7.5% is spent. What is going to happen when we have already started implementing the PLA? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. England, you want to speak?
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and thank you for the presentation. I think maybe I'll look at even repeating the questions. I'm concerned about the 45% that is being used for legal fees, legal service. Is it including the court cases and all that? And then, if yes, it's including the cases, do we still have cases that are outstanding? Okay. The second question, Chairperson, on page 10, the development of technical, what are the specific technical and budgetary constraints in the development of the specification for system? Then lastly, Chairperson, I'm going to repeat this question again. I don't think we look at 1,468 and then we achieve only 20. I think this is really ridiculous. We shouldn't put the number there. Maybe we must think of another way of dealing with this issue. And lastly, Chairperson, I would like to comment that whenever we ask questions, please let the officials answer the questions. Thank you, Chair.
I'll respond to that straight away now after Memnis.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and thank you for the presentation from the department. I've got only two questions to make. I just want to check from the department as to how far have they gone with this PMA as the department. Are you satisfied with all the processes? Is there any synergy and coordination between the Department of Home Affairs and other departments included, like the SANDF? What is happening? Maybe if you can clarify and give a detailed report so that we can know what is exactly happening there. Then, Chair, my last question is a clarifying question on what are the ongoing challenges encountered in providing the refugee travel documents in the time frame that is required. Thank you so much.
Thank you. It's a good matter.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Honorable Mr. President. And I'm sorry, Honorable Members, for coming late. In fact, my concern is around the CAPEX expenditure, the capital expenditure, which stands at 7.9. And I just wanted to check on your plans to replace computers and perhaps critical assets that could have been obsolete or perhaps are no longer in use. What are your plans? Because really, we depend on machinery, and then if our capital expenditure is so low, about 20% below par, then I think we are having a problem around that. So thank you very much.
Thank you very much. I think I just wanted to respond to the point that has been raised by Honorable Victor. Honorable Victor, the issue that we are having is two things that I can explain to honorable members. We invite the officials of the department to come and brief us. They are not coming to home. They are not coming into home. We invite them to come and brief us. We are together, 3 spheres or whatever. I'm not sure that I'm using the correct word. 3 arms of the state. And we went in together. And the meeting is chaired. And the purpose of having a chair is to facilitate the meeting in order to achieve its intended purposes and objectives. And if there is an element that seeks to delay us, or that actually is not going to assist us to reach objectives, then as a chair, I need to adhere to it. And now, I did not say that the officials should not answer. I started by saying, honorable members, I need to remind ourselves that this question was asked, and the DG, not the acting DG, the DG in front of the deputy minister attempted to actually respond to this question and even give us an indication that this target actually needs to be removed because it doesn't make sense. And again raising a point that moving forward even to give a permanent residence permit, it's going to be too much, it's going to be made difficult because we are not in the business of getting people from their country into South Africa. It's those people that are here and then they could, you know, they satisfy certain requirements and we are happy that they should be here and then now that gives that. Now, as a chairperson here, I can't just simply keep quiet if I'm not aware of what is happening in front of us. And actually also to inform him as well that this particular issue has been responded to. Whether he responds or doesn't respond, but if he responds, fully knowing, because when the DG was here responded that, he was not even present. It is not in our interest. It's not in our interest to ask that question and expect him to respond, and respond parallel to what we heard from the DG. Then we are just creating a situation of us to be confused. You see? Therefore, I need to protect the meeting and protect you, honorable members. But that, you know, you don't have just double responses to one question. Because, of course, if you ask two people that are not actually occupying the same office, then they will respond to the same question a little bit differently. But how would that assist us? So I think all what I was saying is that is the meeting as the chairperson must facilitate the meeting to achieve his intended purposes. You cannot respond.
Okay. Now, you can say this, and I'm sorry, I would like us to make some progress.
Yes.
But you made some comment that I simply cannot allow to go by. Especially, this is not the first time that you've done that. It's becoming a habit of yours. The rules do not provide for you as the chairperson to answer the question we ask. We have every right here to ask questions on any matter that's in this report. It must be up to the DG to tell us. So as long as there is information in the report, we must ask those questions, and that's our job. But you can't prevent us from doing that. But it's becoming a common habit of yours that when we raise questions that make you uncomfortable, you want to answer on behalf of the department. We have the greatest respect for the work that they do. And it's not that they are coming before some sort of a firing squad or war. That's not the case. But it can't be right that you're going to protect them from answering questions that we have a right to ask to get the answers for. It's not acceptable. The rules don't provide for it. We know you're the chairperson. You have every right to respect the role that you play. But there are times that you overstep that mark. And you can't expect us to simply keep quiet and accept it.
I thank you, Honorable Chairperson. I think after this meeting, perhaps the members of the committee, the political members of the committee, should sit down and address these matters out, because really we have a country to run, and the country has to be run peacefully. You know that there was a government of unity in 1994, it's not so long ago. So it is the responsibility of every politician to try and see where the problems are so that we develop a common purpose around the different issues. So perhaps, Chairperson, I plead with you that perhaps after the meeting, we just have a meeting amongst the political parties. Thanks.
I'm sure if we have time, I think, to do so, possibly we may try to do that. But I still need to insist that I have the responsibility to protect the mission. I've got that responsibility. The second responsibility is to guide the mission. Everywhere else, when you repeat the same question, you will always be told that you are repeating this question. If you are repeating it, even in the house, if you repeat the same question, you will be told by the presiding officer that no, you are asking this question for the second time, and it has been responded to. And what I'm saying today, I've not said that you should not ask the question. I said I need to remind you, as members, that this question has been asked and it has been responded to adequately. But up to now, they have not yet gone to remove the target, because they must remove it when they start the new year. But we have been told that this target is out of touch, it needs to be removed because it doesn't make sense. And then we know the position about that target. Why don't we recognize that? Then behave as if we don't know anything about it. It's not fair. It's not. And therefore, if I remind you as members that this thing has been responded to, what is the crime? That's a crime. We are political parties, different political parties. So the DA is an opposition party to the ANC. But that doesn't mean that you must just be opposed for the sake of opposing, even when you are actually being fired. You take it as if you are fighting when we just remind ourselves. No. No, you can respond until cows come home, so no problem. But the rest of the matter, all I'm saying is that I have got the responsibility sitting here to guide, and even this very same officials, if they are getting an onslaught that's unnecessary, they must be protected. If yourself easily come here and lie, you must be protected, and I'm the same person that must say, these members have been told this, just like the other way. When the provincial manager of Gauteng said XYZ, the same officials from Home Affairs, they wanted to say that no, that is not true. It's not what he has said. And I confessed, I said no. He said in public. You Home Affairs, go there and then solve your things in Canada. I was protecting the members because you have been told official by an official of Home Affairs. I cannot allow you to be lied to. But the same thing as well is we cannot call officials from the department and then and treat them as if we know we are not considerate of what they have already given us yesterday or last week. Yes, you can respond.
Honorable Chair and members, we have a team that will assist in the responses. I think the CFO had answered.
You have a maximum of 30 minutes at most.
Thank you, sir. I think the CFO had answered on the issues of the overspend and the households, and the communication as well as the special services. I don't think I've said this, but the question was raised again. We just want to also put on the record. Remember, this policy deals with education. You don't have a choice but to correspond. And that costs money. Even if the education is not against for you to have been found on the wrong. But people have a right in terms of budget and the administrative act to make sure that they are able to respond when they feel that the decision taken adverse to what they want. And the department will incur those costs because it has to then engage attorneys who must then defend the department. So the cost sometimes is just, for instance, when people in unlawful arrest, which is one of the actions where the asylum seekers will sometimes claim that they have faced unlawful arrest. No. The demand has to go and defend that case and provide proof that indeed this person was in a country illegally, and we have to make sure that person gets supported. And at the end of the day, you can't stop those people. Others would claim sometimes that they have been kept for more than the allowed time of detention. The department has to go and be able to defend that in the act by proving that in fact the person might have been misleading the line to the department, not declaring the right country of origin. We have to go then trace and get the embassy or missions to come and identify that people. So you find that those things will happen. They are unavoidable because the country has more and more people who think that in terms of litigation they can take the demand to court. You can't stop them. So those are some of the costs that we incur. But of course, as you have requested, as a member, in terms of discussing the trends and maybe the breakdowns, we might have to come back with those and be able to just look at those trends of what. I was just citing a few of things that they normally incur the investigation costs for. And then on the issue of the freedom of course, we recently met, because one of the problems was to look at the general terms of each post that is being freed. And we've done the total analysis per post, per level, per province, per chief directorate, per branch, and looking at from the time of notice of advent to the time of filling the post and occupation and offer letter. And for example, we have agreed that the issue of having 3 months to advertise a post does not make sense. And that has been cut down to 1 month. And so that will reduce just the issue of the period of advent. They're also trying to say we are within timeline. And secondly, is the issue of the challenges around the what was the chair raised as the movement of man and fun, of course. And here, the CFO was not referring to unfunded imposed fundings. He was referring to money that doesn't get spent because the post has been delayed to be filled, and not unfunding the post to run another program. And so that is what he's referring to on where the money is that we have at this stage that we regard as used for other projects. It's not because we created a vacancy in another post. Until that person fills the post, that money then becomes a saving on a month-to-month until that post is spent. And then on the issue of the challenges around the regulations, we know that the regulations have been marked by a number of challenges from various interested groups and interested parties. And that does affect in terms of the implementations, what do you call for. And that is why honorable members of the member role, I made reference to the deputy president, having to be the one who convinced the social intermediary committee to address those challenges that have been raised by various stakeholders. For instance, the outcome was just recently announced around handling of the people instead of applying person going travel long term, that the department would in the next 3 months be able to look at implementing capturing of those biometrics at the port of entry. Those are the examples we're referring to. So the challenges we're mentioning is that we can't come here and mislead the committee that those things are not a challenge. That is what we have been facing. Still resistance to accept the issue of the honorary certificate and then the, what the president and the deputy president's committee has made pronouncements, then on how to handle those matters of honorary certificates, what should be carried by people. So those things do create a challenge, and but we're not saying that internally we've not been able to address any of the implementations of it. The question was, does it affect the economy or it doesn't? Does it affect tourism or it doesn't? And then those were the numbers that were being mentioned by one stakeholder on the impact of immigration regulation. So, Chair, we are on track in terms of implementing honorary certificates. We are on track in terms of expansion of the visa application centers in the countries that were mentioned. So we believe that yes, as a department, we are ready to implement the regulations. We feel it. We will continue to implement. But you can't ignore the complaints and the challenges to one of the rest, because the department then has to respond to those challenges. Networks, I agree, honorable members. This matter was reported it, and then as I indicated now, in the 2 weeks ago, the minister have now indicated that this matter he will escalate it to a higher level to try and engage with his counterpart further again on the issue of really dealing with the networks problems. The department has looked at alternatives. The service provider looking at is mainly the sole service provider, because we're working with SITA at this stage. The SITA provides what we call switches for different centers. Now, if one switch in Eastern Cape is down, we might find it affects a number of other provinces offices and in supply of the network. So the department engaged with even Telkom to see if Telkom can provide us directly, particularly for life care purposes in the life care office. So that exercise is being done exactly to try and see if we can get exemption just in case for the component. And the negotiations have taken time, but I think that the minister will be able to get a breakthrough on this matter. Because the DG has been involved in engaging with SITA, engaging with the DG of SITA, engaging with Telkom. But at the end of the day, in terms of the law, SITA Act, we suppose anything that should be an exemption is approved by the ministry under which SITA reports. And that is where really the problem of network has been affecting us. We are hoping we'll be able to resolve it. Better instructions from Mr. Simon here, who can be able to talk in detail, but most of the time, I might just say that, Chair, one of the things we said we as promised was to create what we call an optimization strategy for the province. Work with the Department of Health. At least now they are able to provide us with the detail of beds that are in hospitals. And that breakthrough, we made it with them. And with the signing of the MOU, again, that addresses new upcoming challenges. The issues, and therefore then, of culture and religion. And here's a problem, but each province has implemented what we call a tracing form where health facilities have agreed to complete with the details of the parents. So that then we can be able to say over again, these are the parents that are offended. Those who didn't register, we're able to call and contact them. And those are all the efforts we're making. But literally, there's no religion or culture that stops a child being registered. I think it's just the mindset that natural citizens must be made to make this a conscious duty to register their citizens every day. And delaying to name a child doesn't change the gender of the child, doesn't bring about misfortunes to the child. It's just a matter that it's this embedded culture thing that as culture evolves, we need to do also public education around those issues. But it can't be right that you're sitting with an unknown, unidentified, invisible child. Because whatever happens to that child, no one can account for it. And the state has the responsibility to plan for it. And interesting enough, because if you look at social crimes and all those things, the more people depend on that, the more people register. So the state has provided a lot of efforts in this regard. I believe awareness is there, and the only way now is to make sure that people understand it is a crime and it's criminal. failure to register a person who exists in this country, but also poses huge risk, not just to the individual child, but also huge risk to the state to have undocumented people. And that is why, up to the level of the United Nations, up to the level of the AU, taking a problem called the civil registration and vital statistics, all countries of Africa have come together to say we must end the scandal of invisibility. Every child must register immediately or at least within 30 days. And at the age of the long future, you're correct, Honorable Hussein, it is a problem. And we have discussed, we're looking at what we call the process review team that I'm fortunately heading. And that is looking at efficiencies we can make by re-engineering some forms. One of them was the bulk and automated mental decisions that we have looked at. And we're looking at what we call a possibility of a delay. Also we can do that in terms of technology. A delay instead of making it immediate. You're saying it must go within 24 hours. So you don't choose. And because if you look at Office of Land Bank, majority of people, they apply for passport. Now if they get an SMS immediately, they believe they must just go there. So you can't really predict and plan and give efficient services to citizens because the numbers are high and the turnaround time is very high. What we don't want to do is to delay the turnaround time of issuing a passport within 30 days. And, but at the same time, we don't want to create the challenges we are facing currently of the long queues. So your observation is correct. We are doing everything we can to deal with it. Even separating our collection centers from applications. But we are working on that project as a business process review, and we are hoping that it should be able to get results sooner than later. But at this stage, the volumes are really, really high of people who come to our offices. Oh, okay. Chair, I think the issue of the PRP has been directed quite a long time. And as the chair indicated around the sports by the general. And firstly, I think, honorable members, we must state that acquisition of citizenship in terms of our act is clear that you need a people's sound character. Now, in terms of that section, it states things that you must combine. Among them, these issues of police clearance take time. And scrutiny of who becomes even a PRP, because PRP, currently the trend is that once I get a permanent residence, I then migrate within 5 years. Now, if you get cases of the Palazolos, people who are refugees, who are running away from their own countries, for whatever it is, they don't declare, you must get verification of their identities from their embassies, from their mission. Determine whether these people are real or sound character. I have to do certain things. So by the time they get to the point where they want to also apply, you can be able to be certain. I'm dealing with the person who is honorable, who saying I can count on that this person is going to contribute to the development of this country. So that is why the DG explained it in terms of the detail you require. But in terms of trying to address the issues that the present honorable members, one of the interventions over and above the scrutiny is that in the delegations, instead of having the highest level of as a general, will be now be done at the level of a DG, that is Mr. K. So that then we are able to try and fast track it without compromising sexuality. At the same time, is that the capacity issue has been addressed by moving the team that is working on as a DSP to move now to assist and support the team that is with the PRP accreditation. But as I indicated, the danger is facing the turnaround time and give a criminal a data in the country. And that is the risk that the government has to make sure it doesn't happen. And Honorable Robert, why is that still targeted here and then not being moved? And I think it's part of what will also address the issues of race, but as DJ has indicated, there are targets that we're saying we need to consider and moving and not addressing them here if they are to compromise how we will develop this business. But I think the question at the heart of it is exactly what was said about the time on time. And the position, can we agree that we will come back, because we didn't bring along the right time, but it is there, on who is deported, what nationality, with which characteristics. Yes, so the tourists are coming into the country, and you correct on the border, that would be, we in fact, I think you correct that. On the issue of the better regulation, I think I've tried to address it, but I'm not sure if Mr. Sandler was speaking certain in provinces, if you would like to add anything. For kind of thing, I don't know if the BMA would like to add anything there. And of course, just being mindful of time, the Honourable Chair has indicated.
Should I proceed, Honourable Chair? I think it was Honourable Minister. Also, the GACS, it's a completely new type of institution for the country, very complex to establish. It means that it will carry out the functions of departments, and the departments' policies and legislation will apply, but will be integrated internally with its own identity. So there are certain steps that must be followed. If those steps take too much time, we can really call them GACS. But so far, if we delay by 3 months because of added negotiations which have emerged as necessary, consulting, there's a total of 17 departments active in the environment, six key ones, and if one of them raises issues which need further discussion, it can delay, but not by more than a quarter, then I think you can call it a gap. But it's difficult to say we'll finish a process in a period of 3 months. Summers will run to the next quarter. But I think we made good progress. The bill is now with Parliament. Once that bill is in place, things can speed up, because we need that legal foundation. But I think it's very good this committee keeps an eye on the process. Thank you.
Honourable Chair, on the travel documents, I think as I told you, yes, for the refugees, there is a project that has been established for refugees, and then we would be automating and in a manner that will allow the refugee applicant to be able to apply in any of the designated offices. Currently, one of the problems that this thing is so centralized is in only the refugee reception centers. As we create the backbone like we do with the civics or the citizens, when we're able to do online verification and be able to confirm our identity, we'll be able to do that. Honourable Chair, we might say that some of the problems we encounter with the refugees are the travel certificates. Is that they would arrive the country as South Africa, and they call themselves Vuthi and kids. When they get a refugee status, then they jail and say, no, this is not my name. We're not allowed, we can't change our identity in this country without your red record. And a number of other applications get delayed exactly because now we must go back and verify when you arrived, who exactly are you. And then when some of them married, then they change their identities in one way or the other. That is one of our real biggest problems that we've been facing. But what we've done now is to engage on what we call the National Immigration Information System, trying to make sure that with this biometric, once the backbone is able to do what our army does for citizens, to do online verification, where your identity is not in dispute, we should be able to process quicker change. But that is a project that we are working on now.
Okay, do you have any comment about the KPEX thing?
Thank you, Chair. Thank you. Honourable Graden, we do have plans to replace our computers and obsolete assets, but asset management and the replacement happens at a decentralized level. So there's no national plan to replace or refresh our technology on an ongoing basis. There's also no budget, but budget lies at the individual office level. So some offices are in a better position to facilitate this replacement or tech refresh, as we call it. That's done in terms of a procurement plan of that particular office. So if I can answer a question that way. One last bit. It was from Honourable Kenya. We wondered about the immigration affairs management, but I was spending it. Chair, that has picked up the expenditure has picked up in the globe, I think we'll be able to spend the allocation there.
Okay. I think honourable members, because 7 o'clock is sitting, I think we can really agree that we have received the responses, even though that they may not be 100% to the level that we wanted. But we had this conference of time, we had our program, and the parliament has changed its own program, and it affects our programs as a committee negatively. And I think we need to thank the department for having managed to pitch up today early this morning and make a marathon presentation and responses to ourselves. And I think we'll say thank you, and then we'll have a further engagement on this particular matter. Remember Mkhize to send that document, the split of ever to Matos, then we'll get it from him. And thank you very much. Honorable members, I think the only one thing that we are left with, it's the memorandum on the desirability of a committee bill. And I think you had, all of you, you had the copies last week. And Honorable Hussein, do you mind for us just to finish this item in 1 minute or so? Yeah. But have you seen the memorandum yourself? Because I think it was given to you last week.
Can I review this?
Yeah. I thought you were going to do that with, as part of the meeting, but no, not.
Then I will be repeating myself.
Yeah, but I wanted to put it to the other members in your presence. Whether there is anybody that agrees with it, honorable members, you have seen the memorandum. Yeah, I think it will put us in a bigger problem because it's just collapsing the quorum. It's just collapsing the quorum, I think. Yeah. Is there anyone that ended? Yeah, but when the vote is taken, we should be having a quorum. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, collapsed. Yes, collapse. Okay. Thank you. I think it will have to stay over. Honourable members, I think this meeting is adjourned. Thank you very much.
I'm not sure if you're going to be able to do that.